Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Josh Sinnard, 27 years of combination experience, Battalion Chief with Sevierville Fire Department and Deputy Chief for White Pine Volunteer Fire Department in Tennessee. Josh is a chief whose mindset centers all around leading by example in everything you do. The higher the rank doesn't mean the less you do. Josh completed the Georgia Smoke Diver Program at 41, becoming the ninth candidate out of Tennessee to do so, is a chief I'd certainly want to work for. But Josh doesn't let that go to his head. He still strives to remember what being a firefighter is and doesn't want the cobwebs to cover his turnout gear. With that, I present Mr. Josh Sinnard.
Hello, my name's Josh Sinnard, Battalion Chief, Sevierville Fire Department, also Deputy Chief of my Volunteer Fire Department in White Pine, Tennessee, both in Eastern Tennessee. You know, of course, Sevierville's in the, around the Smoky Mountains area. Got into the fire service 27 years ago. I was 14 years old, just happened to be during the summertime. You know, it's kind of like that small town deal because the town I live in is a very small town. Me and a few of my buddies were riding the bicycles. We're like, hey, somebody seen somebody at the fire station. So we stopped by the fire station, started aggravating a gentleman that was there, which became a great mentor of mine. His name was Jerry Van Dyke. He done it voluntarily his whole career, and one of the most professional guys I've ever seen as far as the fire service comes, to not ever have done it career fire department. He was very professional. He was a hazmat specialist because he worked at a local factory as their hazmat guy, but man, he was a very smart guy when it comes to hazmat. And so I kind of just, you know, aggravated him during the summer times to drive my bike up there, just ask a lot of questions, got interested in it. And then another one of my mentors that was a volunteer there, he ended up taking over as a volunteer fire chief. He's currently a full-time fire chief in Jefferson County also. He started at a young age too, so he wanted to start an explorer program or a cadet program, we call it. And so I was, you know, the first cadet that White Pine had at the age of 14, and it just kind of took off from there, you know, and it kind of became just – all I ever wanted to do, which is all I've really done. I mean, I went to paramedic school in 2003. But of course, you know, you seen when on the, you know, the questionnaire you send me, I've been involved with a line of duty death. My mother was a line of duty death in December of 2001, December the 11th, you know, graduated high school in May. That happened in December. So, you know, I had to kind of grow up fast. I went to EMT school, got out. Didn't know if that's what I wanted to do. Ended up going to college at the local university for about a year and a half. Decided, no, this is not for me. So then I went to paramedic school, got full-time with our county EMS agency, worked there until I was able to get on part-time here at Sevierville. And I just, you know, kept working EMS and then finally got a job here. And I've been here ever since. Started as a firefighter, worked my way up through the ranks. You know, of course, I mean, everybody probably say I'm a young battalion chief, to be just 41 years old, and I've been here 18 years full time. But, you know, we're a small department. We have three stations, about to be four stations, and we're going to have 25 people on shift once we get that four station built. Right now, we currently have 17 stations. We run 5,000 calls a year. But we're pretty busy to be such a small department. We just had one station when I started here full time. So when we have a very large transient population here that because everybody visits the national park. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people come through the area. So we have a lot of people in the area at any given time. So,
okay.
But okay. That's kind of how I got started in the fire service. So,
all right. And so you mentioned three stations working on number four.
Yeah.
How many engines? How many ladders? Just tell the guests a little bit about Sevierville.
Okay, so we, you know, our three stations, we run an engine out of every station. We run four man engine companies. Well, you know, our chief, he came on after I was here. He started here as a fireman, worked his way up to lieutenant, and then he's fire chief, and he's done Tremendous for us on staffing. So we run four people on every engine, four personnel, with a minimum of three. Our station three, which is our downtown station, we run a tower and a rescue out of there, heavy rescue. And there's three of those personnel, three staff, and they swap back and forth depending on what the call is between the rescue and the tower. And when we build our fourth station, it's going to have a four-person engine and a four-person ladder company. So it's going to be a pretty good staff for being just four stations. So, and then the battalion chief is like the shift commander. So I ride a pickup or a buggy, people call it. So that's kind of what I do.
And are your personnel EMT basics, EMT paramedics?
So I've heard you on this program talk about standards. I feel like we have a pretty good high standard here. So we require everyone to be what in the state of Tennessee, advanced emergency medical technician. We call them AMT. So everybody here, they don't have to be when they get hired on, but everybody here within 4 years has to be an advanced EMT. We require everybody, and this was even before I started here. It's been something that's required for the. Since the department's inception, being full time, we require everybody to complete the Tennessee Smoke Diver program here within 4 years, or you lose your job. So, and we've not had to do that. Everybody we've had has passed. We've had a couple people had to repeat, but everybody has passed. Everybody's required to do high angle technician, swift water advanced, but we do that in house. We have seven instructors. Well, I'm one of them being me through Rescue 3 International. So we do that stuff in house. Everybody's required to do that. So, but yes, everybody's at least required to be an advanced EMT. And we have paramedics too. We run ALS engines. We have ALS equipment on the engines, and not every shift, but most all the time we have a paramedic on the engines.
And if a first due structural box comes in, I'm assuming you're dropping all three stations on first alarm assignment.
Yes, we do. And we also run auto aid with our neighboring agency, Pigeon Forge Fire Department, which is where the Dollywood Amusement Park's at. So we run auto aid with them, and they run auto aid with us. And if it's a residential fire, they send us an engine, vice versa for us. If it's a commercial fire, they'll send us a tower, or we'll send them a tower. So we work really good with our auto aid agencies in the area. So.
One of the things that definitely sparked my interest. So you mentioned every member within 4 years has to become a Tennessee smoke diver.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that something that your fire chief wanted? And I only ask because that is a pretty good standard for your
is,
department to
and
have.
it is, and you have mixed feelings about that. Do you want to, force somebody to go there? Because at that point, where if you send them to a class, are they really going to be there because they want to be there and get everything they can out of that class, or are they just going to show up and just do what they have to do to make it through? But also, I think that's a pretty high, that sets a pretty high standard for our department. But so that was in place before our chief ever came through. He's been through the program himself, because where he started as a firefighter here, even our deputy chief has been through that program, because they both started as firemen here. And so they had to go through that program also. So of course the program's changed some over the years at Tennessee, and it's nothing like the GSD program that I went through in November, but it does. I don't know if I want to say it's nothing like it. It does compare. Tennessee has its own unique stuff, but they also do some stuff similar to the GSD program, because we have three instructors down at that program now that are GSD guys. So there's some similarities. So it still is a legit program that I feel like, but it's something that he went through. So he stands behind it, and he says, as long as he's here, it's going to be a standard for our department. So.
That is awesome. I mean, I'm sure not everyone's going to agree, but that is an awesome standard to have. And the fact that your fire chief has done it as well, so nobody can say, well, such and such has never done it. That is amazing.
Yep, we have 54 full-time employees currently, and every one of them has completed the program at some point during their career. So our chief's been here 30 years. He's on his 29th, going into his 30th year. So he went, several years. I mean, when he first got hired on, but he has completed the program.
Okay. All right. So you stated earlier you started out as a cadet and you worked your way up. So what was it like when you finally walked through the doors of Sevierville? Was it everything you thought a career fire department job would be at the time?
Because I'd worked, part time. I worked part time from 03 to 07 here. So, and I was single, wasn't married at the time. So anytime they would call, I'm gonna work. I'll work. I'll be there. And I worked, all three shifts. So I kind of knew what to expect when I walked through. But when you show up that first day, it's like, oh, this is actually my career full time job now. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it was. I kind of knew the expectations. I knew the guys here, pretty much just like I was full time. But at that point, I was like, yeah, okay. So I think this is where I'm gonna be, probably till I retire. I don't have any at this point any reserve it going anywhere. So I mean, I like it. They take care of you here as far as equipment, turnout, PPE, anything we need. They're good about getting it for us for sure.
Right. And at what point in your career did you decide like to start moving up within the ranks? What was it someone that you worked alongside of, like a mentor, or was it something that you decided to do on your own?
When I got into the fire service, I felt, the mentors I had before, at my volunteer department, those guys and where they're at now. Yeah, I always like, that's where I want to be at some point in my career. So that's just something I'll strive to do is I'm going to promote. I was wanting to promote. And I got promoted early, but the way it happened here, it just kind of fell that way of, I had great mentors. They were getting promoted. So then, hey, you're next in line, or you need to work on getting promoted. And so I was just constantly working for that. And then, you always hear the adage, well, if you don't promote, then who are you going to work for? Do you want to work for somebody or promote? I promote, and I, like I said, I feel like that I put in the work, the effort. I'm bought in. Doing it for the citizens and making sure that we're prepared here. And that's kind of what I've went by the whole time coming up. So
Okay, all
I
right.
felt like, the whole time that I wanted to be kind of where I'm at. So
Understood. All right. So, what does, in your opinion, what does the term aggressive mean to you?
so being aggressive means, when you show up, you're going to do everything that you can for that citizen. I've got a guy here on my shift. He's always used the term, you can be smart aggressive or dumb aggressive. We like to be smart aggressive. We're going to show up, and we're going to make every attempt that we can, to make sure that if there's somebody in there, we're going to do what we can to get in there. We're not just going to, lay back and say, I don't think we can do that. If there's that serviceable space or there's those opportunities, we're going to take those opportunities because that's what we took the oath for the citizens. So, that's kind of what I feel like aggressive is we're going to do everything that we can, use our training, everything that we've been trained, and put it to use when we show up.
And with you being a battalion chief, what are your standards for the men and women who work for you? I'm sure you've laid them out, and I'm sure they probably know, like, hey, when we're on chief centered shift, like this is what he expects of us.
Absolutely. So, I've kind of tried to make it whenever we, I started, always, even when I got promoted to lieutenant, of course, you get promoted, you're nervous, you don't know what to expect. To me, it was like I was starting first day on the job again. When you get every time you get promoted, it's like, oh, it's like starting the first day. But the thing you got to do is you got to lay out those expectations. The turnout times at, one of the things at GSD, and I've heard, other places are, what is the one thing that we can give a citizen is time. So whenever we respond out, turnout times, getting dressed quick, getting out of the truck, showing up, being able to force doors, being able to do the basic stuff, you've bought them a tremendous amount of time before you've even stepped foot through the front door. So that's what, here we're going to be good at the basics. We're going to be extremely good at the basics. And then expand upon them from that point forward. Every since I've got promoted to lieutenant, I hate using the word I because I don't I like the team effort. But we I found a copy of the Book of Andy back way back when in a PDF form. So I always print that off, have that spiral bound, make a real nice book, and every new hire or new recruit that we get on our shift, I always present them with one of those and say, "I hear this is starting your fire service career off." Because I like to have a library. I've got a bookshelf at home that have reference material books and stuff. And here's starting your library for your fire service career. So I always give them that book, and trying to set those expectations and set the tone every day. You're talking about standards, but you come in every day, you set the tone by your attitude. We always have a, like I call it, a tail board meeting every morning. Here's what we're going to do for the day. Here's the training we're going to do for today. Here's what we need to get accomplished. And so that's what we do. And of course, the classes that I take, I like to bring back to the guys on shift. All right, here's what I learned. It may, some of it may be applicable to our department. Some of it may not be, but it also it shows that, hey, you got to always be pushed forward, trying to lead by example, things like that. So that's what I try to do as far as these classes. And it's got a bunch of, the guys on shift are like, all right, I'm wanting to go to this class. I'm wanting to do this. So that's what we try to do here on this
Okay.
shift.
And as a battalion chief, what are your non-negotiables?
So being on time, showing up to work, we're 15 minutes early at least, because if that late call comes in, we're going to be courteous to the other shift, but we're also, going to be there getting ready, having your stuff on the truck right at 7 a.m. before 7 a.m. ready to go, having your stuff checked off, your air packs checked off, and the turnout times, getting out of the building, when the tones go off. You're moving the truck and you're getting dressed and you're getting out of the building. So
Okay. And with you, I'm not sure how long it took you, in between each rank to get promoted, but in your opinion, should there be a years of service clause for promotion? And I know every department is different in depending on size and amount of personnel, things of that nature. Some departments have no choice but to promote fast, but
absolutely.
well,
And
what's your opinion?
we're kind of in that boat right now. We have grown so fast that we're having to promote younger guys, people that the experience level is just not there. Because we run fires, but we're not like FDNY running fires, or we're like some of these. But that's why we do a lot of training. But we're in that same boat. We're having to promote people that 4 or 5 years service. I do kind of like the years of service. It helps you maybe learn your department. If you're serious about getting promoted, I mean, some people, they're not serious about being promoted until they see the ad or see a memo come out that, oh, there's an open position, and then they get serious about wanting to get promoted. If you're getting serious about getting promoted at that point, then you're really doing it for the wrong reasons, in my opinion. You need to be preparing for that long before. But I do kind of see where the years of experience are coming in. But for us, we're in that same boat. We're having to promote people that are without that experience. But for us, a lot of the company officer stuff is you the majority of it is handled within, as one of my guys on shift says, within the four walls of the station. That's the hardest part about doing the company officer thing. To me, if you set those expectations for your crew and you're training to those expectations and standards, when you get out on the scene, it's really pretty easy. I mean, you're just pretty much keeping accountability, calling for more resource, whatever, and you let those guys do their work. You let them do what they're trained to do. That's the easy part. Inside the four walls of the stations, that's what's hard.
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. And with that being said, what kind of simulated or real training do you try to give for your members? Because I'm sure you run fires here and there, but no department runs fires like they would like to. So what are the couple things that you try to do, as far as training for your members?
So of course, we have a training facility. It's a countywide training facility here in Superior County. So we go over and we do, live fire drills. We do quarterly, writ drills with our auto aid agencies, and we'll let the company officers, we'll give out like a simulated scenario or whatever it is, and then the company officers are run it from that point. But we've also tried to implement. I completed the managing officer program through NFA, and one of my capstone projects was an officer academy. And Chief Tennyson from Somerville, South Carolina, you've had him on here, man. And I got to know him when he came to Tennessee Smoke Divers, and he's I consider him a great mentor. I call him and go to him for information a lot, and he provided me with some information, and we put together an officer academy. We send people to officer class. They get just the in general fire service of being an officer and the standards and all that. But we put together a program here to learn more about the city policies and stuff. HR stuff, workman's comp, how to do our reporting. Let's see, inner training stuff like that. So that way they get in this academy, and then if they get promoted, it's not like I. Here, learn it on the go. Our time, our software for timekeeping, all that. They learn all that prior to being promoted. That way, it kind of lets them, be ready for it more instead of just, all right, here you go, you're promoted. Learn how to do this kind of stuff. So, we're kind of running. We're going to run one of those classes, and I'm sure it's going to need feedback and improvement. But that's what it's for. So.
Okay. All right. And as far as outside training, it's probably I'm going to assume that you're definitely a proponent for outside training.
Absolutely. So I went to, and our chief is he's a proponent. He puts money in the budget every year for us to do outside training. We send, we got three shifts here plus our training officer, and he allows if they take the opportunity for that, we'll send one person off each shift plus our training officer to Firehouse Expo every year, FDIC every year, and. I talked to men too a couple of years ago. I said, "Hey, Chief, I want to go to FBTN," and I kept hounding on him, and he let me go to FBTN. I went to the live fire training camp for 3 days, came back, and like, "Hey, we need to start sending some people to this," and so we sent two more people this year. They come back, they're saying the same thing. So he's going to start budgeting for two people a year to go to FBTN. If we can get in, that stuff fills up quickly. And then he's a proponent for the Georgia Flames. Came back from that. We've got people that are applying for Flames, and I'm sure we'll have people, apply for Georgia Smoke Divers soon too. So after that, but yeah, he's a proponent for outside training also, because he wants us to bring that stuff back to our department and share the information.
And it kind of goes to the thing of, you only know what you know within the four walls of your fire department. So getting out and getting those experiences, networking, it makes outside training, like, to me, invaluable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether it's going to the National Fire Academy or anywhere, I mean, he's a proponent for sending people up there. We just had three people, and one of them included myself and two others that just completed that MO program. And, you get different type of training when you go to National Fire Academy. It's not like the hands-on, but it's very useful. It's very valuable. The networking to me was the biggest thing when you go there. It's unreal at the people you get to network with.
Okay, awesome.
But
Fantastic. Fantastic. When it comes to leadership, let's first start with company officers. Moved up through the ranks. What is the rank structure like within your department? You have firefighter and then what else from there?
so we have a firefighter, and then we have engineers, and then we have lieutenants, and then battalion chief, and then deputy chief and chief. We don't have captains at the moment, but when station four opens, we're going to have captains because there'll be a captain on the ladder trucks, and then the engines will have lieutenants because that way if the ladder trucks or the captains show up before the battalion chief, they'll have command until the battalion chief gets there. So that's kind of how that's laid out. Within our organization. So the engines are, you got lieutenants on the engines.
Okay. All right.
So.
And so as far as being a company officer, what does that mean to you besides the rank and the title?
So you got the biggest responsibility. The company officer, I think, has the biggest responsibility of in the fire department because they're responsible for all the crews, which I'm responsible for the crews too. But when they go inside that structure fire, they're directly responsible, especially with the newer firemen we got. They're having to lead those guys, and maybe direct them and do things like that. And as far as company officers, I consider our training officer is a lieutenant position, but that position can have the biggest impact at all because you got
Sure.
three different shifts on in the department, and you're the guy that's there every day with those shifts leading that training and can get everybody on the same page, because there are times to where it's like you got three different shifts or three different fire departments because, all right, this shift likes to do it like this, this shift likes to do it like that. But with him being there, that they can have the biggest impact of any officer here, even more than the chief, to be honest with you,
Right. No, I
of getting
agree with
everybody in the same.
I agree. I agree. I think if you want to go into the training division, you have to have a passion to teach, and you have to have a passion of being able to be knowledgeable and understand that there are things you're not going to be able to know, but to get that training and to pass that on, to me, that makes it invaluable for the organization for sure.
Absolutely. I've done it for a year on an interim basis here while I still worked on shift. And that yeah, there's a lot. You had to have, definitely had to have a passion for that position, and there's a lot of stuff, but you can make the biggest impact on the department right there, especially with the younger firefighters on the department.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when it came time to make a decision on whether to become a battalion chief, because battalion chiefs, when you accept that role, you're leaving the truck. Nobody's with you unless you have an aide. But to me, it's an entirely different ball game. So why did you decide to accept it? And were you a little bit timid or fearful with that new position?
Yeah, absolutely. I, because I'm a firefighter at heart. I love putting my gear on. I love doing the training. I love driving a truck. So I was like, I don't know if this is really what I want to do. But then again, I look back at that deal. If not, who could I be working for? Type of deal. And luckily, I got to be with a lot of the same guys that I was on shift with when I was a lieutenant when I got promoted to battalion chief. So they were like, "Hey, you need to do this. You need to do this." And I was like, "I don't know. I still like, riding the truck, putting my gear on." Ultimately, I made the decision to do it. But when we go to fires, I don't really, I don't get to do the interior stuff, but I still get to do the training stuff. Hence the reason why I'm trying to do the classes I'm doing, leading my example, and still saying, "Hey, even though you're a battalion chief, doesn't mean that you don't, let the cobwebs grow in your turnout gear, and you don't have to put it on and do the work." So that's one of the reasons why, doing lots of stuff that I'm doing.
Definitely. Okay. No, it definitely shows, because I don't know very many chiefs out there, that still participate going outside training, furthering their education. And, we'll definitely, as the interview goes on, we'll talk more about the GSD program. But
Absolutely.
with that being said, now that you're a chief officer, what kind of chief officer did you want to be? Like, what did you envision in your mind? Like, hey, if I accept this role, this is the type of officer I want to be when it comes to chief officer.
So, I wanted to be the guy, that's going to motivate the members just to get the best that you can out of them, that the guys are just, they love coming to work every shift. They're always like, "Hey, what are we doing for training today?" I wanted to be that guy that they were like, "All right, we're going to work. It's going to be a good shift. We're going to get a lot accomplished, and anything that gets thrown at us, we're going to be able to take care of it no matter what." That's kind of what, and don't micromanage, don't micromanage the guys. Let them do their job. You set the expectations. And now, and when you get to see guys that, when you get out on the scene or anywhere, and they're doing exactly, what you're expecting them. That's just the greatest feeling. It's like, it's basically like, hey, you're the parent, they're the children, and they're making you proud. They're doing exactly what you've asked them to do, and that's the best feeling ever. I try to, we're, of course, we're big on the working out part. Which the fire service seems like it's getting more toward that, but We're big on the fire service. I try to get around. You know, we have the three shifts or three stations. I try to get around to the each station, you know, every few shifts and do a workout with those guys. I'll load up my stuff. I'll go down, you know, my workout stuff will go down. What are we doing today? I'll be there at 3 o'clock today. We're going to work out. So I'll try to go around to each station and do a workout with those guys and visit. Try to visit the stations every shift, but you know, I try to, you know, periodically get around and do workouts with those guys and just, you know, sorry, if you're going to be in your gear, I'm going to be right there beside you. So that's kind of the way I try to do it.
And the mentality that you have when it comes through Sevierville, do you try to transfer that over to White Pine? And the only reason why I ask is because, you know, White Pine, that's your volunteer organization. It's, you know, you hear back and forth banter of people going, well, they're volunteers. We can't really require them to do that. But do you try to bring the same level, your mindset at your career job to your volunteer agency?
Yeah, you try to it, but you know it's kind of dip. So the chief of our department, he's a lieutenant with here in Sevierville too. So men, so we kind of both have that same mindset, you know, here and he's a young, young hard charging kind of guy, you know, that you hear everybody say, and he does an extremely good job with that. And yes, we try to make people hold those standards. And there's some things we do, but some things, you know, as far as that, you can't just, if you push people like that, then you ain't gonna have any members left.
Right.
But as far as turnout, you know, my volunteer department, you know, we run 1,100 calls a year at 100% volunteer fire department. And so, you know, we try to, you know, our best to push those standards. Yes, everybody wears gonna wear their turnout gear on scenes. Everybody's gonna wear their vest on NVAs, yes, everybody's going to wear their SCBAs during overhaul, things like that, yes. And we try to push the fitness part. I mean, we've bought fitness equipment for the stations to, you know, try to say, all right, here it is. We need you guys to use this. We provide the 1582 physicals free of charge for all those guys. So we're trying to push that standard, but you know, you can't really, it's hard to push as much there as it is with a full time, but we try to push as much as we can.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And with that being said, are you seeing, my question is, what do you think the fire department can improve on? And what are they doing good on when it comes to recruitment and retention, whether it's volunteer or career?
So what we do good here recruitment wise, as far as, you know, we provide you know, compensation's good, you know, equipment's good, like I said earlier. You know, they provide us with a lot of good stuff here. Things I think we could do better would be, and we have a good retention. We don't have a lot of turnover here. You know, once people come here, they usually stay. But I just feel like, you know, getting guys what they want to get out of the job as far as what they're expecting when they come in. We need to set those expectations right up front. You know, hey, you're not going to run a fire every day, but we're going to give you a bunch of training that's going to have you prepared. So if they're expecting that, we need to try to do what we can to make sure that we're giving them what they need to succeed. And you know, so that's kind of, I don't know, that may be a short answer, but that's what I can, you know, come up with at the point right now. So
Right. And as far as the volunteer side, I mean, because we all know the volunteerism, the numbers are down, but you know, what's one of the things that White Pine does to kind of retain and keep their members?
There we, you know, we do it here at Sevierville too, but there we try to make it as family, you know, oriented as possible. You know, we and you know, invite, you know, families, and we have those, you know, those summer and fall cookouts, and just try to get the family members involved as much as possible. So because, you know, running 1,100 calls a year, trainings every month, that's a lot of time that they had to take away from their family and that they're away from their home. So if we can make, you know, hey, if you want to come to, you know, they come up to the fire station, hang out, we're doing, you know, the cookouts for the kids and things like that, and try to make it as family oriented as possible. You know, hopefully that makes it more understanding for them, and they see also what they're doing when they leave their house. You know, hey, they're going, you know, to help somebody in need, and if they're not going, then who's going to go help them? So
Absolutely. Okay. All right. The topic of physical fitness. How important is physical fitness to you when it comes to the fire service?
So it's paramount. I mean, so I, you know, I kind of, when I started in the fire service, you know, back, you know, in, well, here in Sevierville, when I went to, you know, Tennessee program in 06, I was, you know, single, wasn't married, you know, physical fitness was, you know, a priority of mine because but then, you know, once you get married, I kind of got, you know, a little bit lazy, gained weight. And then, you know, I go down to the, I start working for TFAC, the Fire Academy, and then they start, I start helping with the smoke diver program. And there's guys down there like, you know, Preston Benninger, Shea West, you know, both those guys are Georgia smoke diver guys. And I'm like, you know, hey, I might need to step my damn game up if, you know, if I'm gonna be down here helping these guys. And you know, of course, you know, GSD's, you know, is on my radar. I've always heard about it, but then, you know, of course, I got more interested in it, you know, working around those guys. I was like, I need to step up my game. So then, you know, I put 2 years in of getting ready to go to that program and doing flames also. And it made me realize that, hey, if you're physically fit and then, you know, and you're putting yourself through these strenuous workouts, and then mentally you're there too, because we see a lot of these younger recruits come through that when they start getting wore down, they start getting tired, the mental capacity goes away. I mean, like I'm working over here today helping with some new hires that we're about to send down to TFAC and just kind of give them introduction, and we're following hose out there, and he's getting tired, and you can tell it because he starts making mistakes. So I feel that the physical fitness, you know, you're pushing yourself, it's making you mentally sharp too. Or, you know, as they're saying here, you know, some of these guys are saying you're laser focused and razor sharp, and that being physically fit helps with that. So on both aspects. So
Definitely, definitely. And Chief, how old are you?
I'm 41, I'll be 42 in March.
Okay, so 41, about to be 42 in March. You mentioned earlier how GSD was always on your radar, and I'm not trying to ask you to divulge any secrets, but people always want to know. So my question to you, a couple questions is, number one, why GSD? And number two, how did you prepare yourself for that? Because we all know it's not an easy program.
No, it's definitely not an easy program, but you know, I just, you know, trying to lead by example and doing the smoke diver program. I was like, if I'm gonna do the program, then I'm just gonna go ahead and go find the best. You know, I want to do GSD. That's the one, because I knew a lot of guys. You know, Chief Tennyson, you know, Shea Preston, Elliot Lane, Chess Gosnell, all, you know, some guys from South Carolina that's they came through Tennessee, and I've got to know them, and I'm like, you know, and they were all, they're all those guys are squared away dudes. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to do this. And I just dedicated that 2 years of getting ready. And the reason why it's 2 years is because I'd apply and I'd get on the wait list. And, you know, then and when you get on the wait list for that, I don't know if my email, if I'm just that, you know, done with IT, but every time an email would come out about an open spot before I'd ever get to even respond back, it's full, it's full, it's full. And it took me that long, you know, to get in, because I was always on the wait list. So like, if I'm on the wait list, I gotta stay ready, because you never know whenever you're gonna get your call to go to it. So I went to those guys a lot for preparation. Of course, I, you know, I did the Fit to Fight fire program, a lot of that. Marcos from Hard Knocks, you know, Sunday program. I do a lot of his workouts. You know, Logan Broberg, from that Rogue Firemanship. You know, I'd see those workouts and I'd kind of modify them to what I was trying to accomplish that day. You know, a lot of gear workouts, a lot of stuff on air. And the good thing about here at our department, our shift, them guys are like, heck yeah, let's get in gear and let's work out, you know. And so that made it easy too. But I also got set up at my house that I was doing. So, I mean, I was running, you know, 6 days a week. Sam Jacobs is another one from Cobb County that I got to know. And I just, you know, hey, what I need to do, and guys, and they'd be, you know, they'd send me a workout too, and I'd just do them. And so that's just kind of just preparing myself just mentally and physically for 2 years. And flames was something that kind of helped me get ready for it too. Preston Benninger kind of turned me on to that. He's one of the lead instructors down there, and it's the 48-hour program. It's 48 hours straight, you know, limited sleep. And that was kind of a confidence booster for me when I got in that program, went down to that. You know, there's some similarities there too, like, you know, that at Georgia, but it gave me like a confidence boost when I went down. I'm like, all right, if I can make it through this, mentally and physically, then I can push myself, to do the smoke diver program, and it helped me. I really feel like that program helped me, kind of succeed in that. But just cliche as having that no quit attitude too was kind of, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna and so I mean, I got through it, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done too. So I mean, it really is.
For sure. I mean, you dedicate 2 years of your life preparing. You get accepted. Well, what was it like when you either got the email or a letter, however it works, that hey, you're in, be prepared? Like, was it surreal? Like, okay, it's go time.
Yeah, I was actually at the beach on vacation whenever Sykes sent out an email, and there was four openings, and I sent the email back, and he said, "Oh, you're second one to reply back." And I was like, "Oh shit, it's getting real now." I was like, okay." And just I was like on vacation, like, "Oh shit, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing?" I was like, and then of course my wife and my stepson's like, you've done this for 2 years. This is all you've worked for. You've got to go. You can't. There's no backing out now. You need to go do it." And I'm like, okay, that's what I'm gonna do. But then, of course, those the whole time during that, there'd be times where it'd pop up, and I'd be like, oh shit, is this really what I, am I wanting to do this? And then, I'll show up down there on Saturday, then the day before. Actually, I went down, Friday, you stay all night, and then Saturday you get up, and you gotta, they all day until you gotta go do the pre-qual test. And I'm like, oh shit, I could just get my vehicle and go home right now. Is this really? But then, once you go through that, I was like, no, you get to meet some of the guys down there at the hotel, and you're like, yeah, I need to be here. I'm supposed to be here. So,
That's
and then at
awesome.
that point, after the first, PT session, you're like, you're like, okay, yeah, we're good, and but of course there's times during that class, there was several times during that class like, I just don't know about this,
Right.
especially at nighttime when you get back to the hotel room, that you're just everything's a whirlwind from the day, and you're having to get ready for the next day, and you're like, I could easily just get in my vehicle and go home right now, but you're like, nope, one more day, one more day, one more day. Just kept telling yourself, one more day. And before you know it, it's Friday. So, and you're still there. There was nine of us that finished out of 41 that started with my group. So, of course, but it was the most rewarding thing I've ever done. Can't thank those guys that helped me along the way enough. Like Chief Tennyson and them. I probably couldn't have done it without those guys. And them giving me insight and how to train and prepare. Of course, they didn't give no secrets out at all. About it, but they. They did, preparation. Here's what you need to be doing. And like I said, I can't, that's invaluable. You can't thank them enough for that. I mean, that always be indebted, feel like, for that.
For sure, for sure. And one thing I'm sure you could definitely take away is the fact that, you completed GSD. There are times where, your mind, it's crazy how your mind can play such a factor where if it's like, one thing goes wrong, it's like, hey, I'm tired. And if you're watching your counterparts hang up the red ribbon, that psych that, getting into your head. But one thing for sure is, since you completed it, it's like now you can do anything when it comes to the fire ground and you're actually tired. Like, I'm tired, but I'm going to keep going until the task is complete.
Absolutely. It's a mentality changer. It for sure is. It relates right to the fire ground. You go from, and you'll think about stuff like that, and you're going, I've done this before. I've done harder stuff than this before. You just keep pushing. You got to stop, not when you're tired. It's, as I say, when you're finished. And that's you do that a lot during that class. You gotta just say, all right, let's go. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. And it directly correlates to, out here on the fire ground for sure.
Definitely. So, Chief, one thing I gotta say is, I applaud you for it. I remember seeing somebody put a post about it, and it stated that you're a deputy chief with your volunteer organization and a battalion chief at a career department. And my notion was like that right there. Whoever is under your command is like, okay, If Chief Center can do it, there's no reason why I can't do, whatever the case may be. So I just want to say, like, an awesome inspiration to a lot of those out here in the fire service, including myself, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. And that, that's the whole point, trying to lead by example, lead from the front. You can't always be, sitting on the wagon, telling the horses to pull, pull the weights. Sometimes you need to get off and help them pull too. And that's the whole point of it. That's the whole reason behind, a lot of, it's personal satisfaction and gain too. But more than anything, it's a, I'm out here, I'm leading by example. If we can do, if I can do this, any of us can do this. So,
For sure, for sure. One question I do have, you mentioned Tennessee Smoke Diver. Is it the same 5-day course, or is it a I don't want to say watered down, but is it a condensed version of GSD?
it's a 4-day program, and it's kind of condensed. I mean, you do a lot of the same stuff, but like I said earlier, Tennessee has its own significant things that they do that have been. Some of the stuff's been there since the inception of the program. Some of the stuff's been there, that they've added on, through the years that's just significant. You got the old course stuff, which I mean, I'd say every smoke diver program has that. Tennessee has an 853 drill, they call it, which is significant that I've only seen it at the Tennessee smoke diver program, and it's been there from. It was there when I went in 06, and I'm pretty sure it was there, before that. So that's one of the significance for Tennessee is that drill, but the A53 drill. So it's kind of condensed version similar. It to be a program that is associated with the State Fire Academy, like Georgia at one point was associated with the State Fire Academy. They since split, but to be associated with the State Fire Academy and a state program. I think it's a very good program, to be ran by a fire academy, not to be an association like GSD is.
Okay. And how many times a year do you perform Tennessee Smoke Diver?
So they run 4 classes a year, 2 in the spring, 2 in the fall. So they're about to have one coming up in March. They'll have one in April, and then they'll have one October, November.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Okay. And it's open to anybody outside of Tennessee?
It's open to anybody outside the state. You stay on campus there. They have dorm rooms on campus. You stay on campus. It's not like GSD where you stay in a hotel. You stay on campus there for the duration. Maybe once you get out of class, and even times you can leave campus if you want to, but you stay on campus at nighttime. But yeah, it's open to out of state, and been getting a lot of out of state guys come. I mean, there's several. I had a Evan Phillips from Nampa Fire Department out in Idaho, and he came one of the last classes I was there. So there are guys from all over that are coming. A lot of had some guys from Atlanta be there. Had several from South Carolina that are coming. I've had some guys I know from Virginia's been inquiring about the class that they may be interested in going. So, but yeah, it's open out of state. Usually there's a wait list because they don't take near as many people as the Georgia program. We only take 18 people at a time. That's all they'll allow. That's a full class is 18. But yeah, it's usually a wait list, but they usually have people drop and you can get in. So,
Okay.
yep.
All right. communication amongst the rank and file. It's my opinion that successful fire departments have communication from the top down and down up. So what's your take on that?
Absolutely. Communication. Anytime you look at a lot of these NOSH reports and anything like that, communication breakdown a lot of times is where they see went wrong. And we just actually had a meeting our last yesterday. I was on shift. We got a new city administrator here, and he wanted to meet with all the shifts at the fire department. And that's one thing we told him. Transparency, be open with us, up and down, the ranks from the highest to the lowest level. Transparency is key. I mean, of course, some chief, there's things that they don't share,
Right.
because of the hire, but be as transparent as you can, because I've seen too many times, you'll, especially in the firehouse gossip, the communication, you're getting something from somebody and you're like, well, so and so, and it turns out that that wasn't the case at all because the communication was not communicated correctly. So yes, communication is huge.
Okay, I agree. I agree. And as far as you said you had a stint in the training division, and this is nobody ever wants to do this, but when is it time to say to a recruit or even a member that's been on for a while that's not performing up to par, like when is the time to tell an individual, hey, you're not cutting it. I think you might need to reevaluate, what this job actually is.
Of course, that's a touchy subject,
Right.
in today's world. But I feel, if you do the, I like that analogy, that crawl, walk, run, and you're showing them, and after a few times, you've just, if it's not clicking with them, you've put them through, some scenarios, and then you may need to have that conversation, because if they're not performing at a controlled environment, then when we get out here, when it really means, when we're in game time, we're not in practice, we're like a football team, then if you can't perform in team control environments, you're definitely not going to be able to perform whenever it counts. So yeah, I think we need to have those conversations, but there again, it just depends on where you're at. Sometimes you can't have those conversations with those individuals.
Definitely.
But
Okay. And you mentioned how like Chief Tennyson and various many other individuals were there for you when you wanted some instructions, some tips, as far as preparing for GSD. You always hear the adage that the brotherhood is dead, but what does being there for each other mean to you when it comes to the fire service?
it doesn't matter if it's at work or off shift. We're that's the brotherhood. If somebody's needing help, hey, I've got to do this today at my house, can you come and help me do this? Yeah, I'll come and help you do that. Or family issues, if they're needing advice, if they're needing to sit down and talk to somebody, or we're out here doing a drill and they're, again, they can't, they're having a hard time grasping it. Go help them. Don't belittle them. Don't belittle them. Go help them. Work through the issues. Just anything like that. Being a family, being there for them. Having that family atmosphere, for them. But that's where it's at. It don't have to be within your department. Like you were saying, hey, there's guys outside of the department that I, talk to on a regular basis, that I've met at classes and got to be good friends with them, and text back and forth with them a lot. And, I'll ask them questions, they'll ask me questions, and just be there for them, help them out. Help them out as much as you can. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what the brotherhood is.
Absolutely. Okay. And my last question to you, where would you like to see yourself before you decide to hang it up altogether within the fire service?
I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks that I'd like to be a chief, but I don't know if I'd do well with the political side of it. I'm very content where I'm at right now. I think that I would possibly either deputy chief or a chief of maybe a smaller department, or something like that. Just to see, if I could make a difference there for as a whole department, instead of just a shift. I feel like that, doing what I do now, I help the whole department, but I'll maybe a chief of a smaller department or deputy chief of this department.
Okay. All right. With that being said, Chief, any other plans, any other classes, any other programs that's on your mind that maybe we'll see?
I don't know. I'm still looking. I'd like to go back to FDTN, take the truck class or the engine class. I'd like to get back to that. Of course, I want to go back to FDIC. I want to do, that's always good. So just something like that. I'll find something on the way.
And are you more of an engine guy or a truck guy?
So here, we're trying to move to the engine concept, truck concept. But here, I've worked here my whole career, and we've had to do it all. So I mean,
Okay.
you're basically, an engine guy, but you're doing truck work as an engine guy too. So that's, if I was gonna say anything, I'd say an engine guy. But that's, we've had to do it. We do it all here. So it's not like, you got a truck, it's doing just truck work, and engine
Right.
just doing engine work. So we had to do it all.
Right. Okay. All right. Chief, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to do this. I definitely wanted to talk to you, see, your where your mindset is, gather little tips, nuggets that you're dropping. So I have to say it again, Chief, like you are an awesome inspiration for many others out there. I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal, but you don't see, at least that I know, I can't say I know all the smoke diver successful candidates, what they, their rank outside of Georgia. But for you being a battalion chief, what you did, what you accomplished, that does wonders. And I'm sure the members of your department are like, damn, like this guy sets the standard high.
Well, thanks a lot. I that's why I do it. I do it, to try to lead those guys. I don't do it to go do it for the notoriety or some patch or something like this. I do it, to say, hey, I can do this. You can do this. Let's all try to accomplish, this common goal and make ourselves better. So that's the reason why I do it.
Awesome. Fantastic, sir. Like I said, I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.